This is KJZZ's Here and Now in Phoenix. I'm Steve Goldstein. We just heard from Congressman David Schweikert about his expectations for 2017 in Washington and for President-elect Donald Trump. But what should Democrats in Arizona and across the country be preparing themselves for, and how difficult will it be for them to have an impact? With me for a few minutes, is political analyst Chris Hurstam. Chris, good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, so what is the state of the Democratic Party nationally right now, considering that Hillary Clinton won the election by 3 million votes but did not win the Electoral College? Should they be wringing their hands right now?
Well, for the last month, I think the Democratic members were shocked. They were stunned, and then they became depressed. Now, I think after about 6 weeks, Democrats are petrified. They are petrified about Donald Trump in a way that they were not scared about President Ronald Reagan or George W. Bush as they formed their administration. And the Trump transition period has not made Democrats feel any less scared than the thought of a Trump presidency. Really are going to have to claw their way back, the Democrats, into the majority, and they're going to have to be introspective, and they're going to have to plan on the future, and they're going to have to recruit good candidates both at the national and the state level and provide those candidates with the proper training, support, and basic campaign infrastructure if they are going to be successful at clawing their way back to the majority.
Republicans have been accused of being the party of no throughout President Obama's administration. Do you think Democrats are going to have to try that? And are there enough Republicans that they could connect with on certain issues to block some legislation or block some action by President Trump?
You're correct. I think the Democrats now losing the presidency, not winning the Senate. They're down 52-48 in the Senate, U.S. Senate, and the House is hopeless. They're so far behind there. The Democrats are going to have to now really go into a minority stage where their only hope is to pick off three Republican U.S. senators on selected issues, such as repeal and replacing Obamacare and immigration and on foreign affairs matters. There's several Republicans that are available to pick off on selected issues. Our own Senator John McCain, to a lesser extent, Senator Flake. In particular, Susan Collins of Maine is very, very centrist. Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, Rob Portman of Ohio, Rand Paul has libertarian tendencies, and Dean Heller of Nevada, a Republican senator who is going to have to run for re-election in 18 in a state that was carried by Hillary Clinton. So those are all possibilities for pickoffs by the Democrats on selected issues. But by and large, the Democrats are going to be very frustrated. They're going to have to sit back and wait for national scandals and inevitable poor policy decisions to manifest themselves to score points in upcoming elections. And here in Arizona, the Democrats are pros at being in the minority because they have been for a couple of decades. And what they need to do, and they will always continue to do, is look for bipartisan opportunities, particularly on K-12 funding and whether we continue tax decreases every single year when we don't have enough funding for K-12 and badly needed social services in our state. And those Democrats will be there to provide bipartisan votes for the governor or for Republican leadership if they need them.
Chris, heading back to Washington briefly, what do you think of Arizona's delegation as it relates to the Democrats specifically? Ruben Gallego has been very outspoken in knocking down Donald Trump, or at least attempting to. We've not heard much from Kyrsten Sinema, and those of us who are cynics might think that's because she wants to position herself as a centrist to run against perhaps Senator Flake or in the future Senator McCain. Does that limit her influence and power, or does it in fact increase it as we see the makeup of the Senate and the House right now?
I don't think it really – Sinema's a desire to be centrist on many issues and look nonpartisan is what I think she's trying to do in a district that is pretty centrist, frankly, and just leans Democrat, frankly, when you look at the election returns. I think cinema's gearing up for running for the U.S. Senate someday in the future, whether it be Flake or McCain's seat in 6 years, and trying to win a general election. And having to be a more centrist Democrat to do so. I don't think, I mean, the House is so overwhelmingly Republican and stayed the same that Trump is going to impact her voting. She'll still pick and choose issues and appear more centrist. The important thing to remember, though, is both Sinema and Gallego, who is more of a traditional progressive and can afford to be so in his very safe Democratic district, both of them opposed Nancy Pelosi's selection as the minority leader in the House. That was extremely significant, and that sort of unites them in the fact that they are now sort of branded as more independent from the Democratic caucus in the House. And frankly, as an Arizona Democrat now, that was appealing to me. I was pleased to see both Gallego and Sinema differentiate themselves from Nancy Pelosi. I think change is necessary within the Democratic Party at the federal level.
And Chris, let's finish by talking about Arizona Democrats at the state level. We look back to 2014, which is when statewide offices were up, and the Democrats had a good slate of candidates, and yet they all lost. Do you think anything that happened in 2016 indicates there's momentum for Arizona Democrats going forward? And on top of that, do you expect any of the people who ran and lost in 2014 to run again in 2018?
Well, the momentum for the Democrats from looking at the 2016 race is the fact that Hillary Clinton only lost by 3 points here in Arizona, that, there were certainly key victories in the legislature, particularly in the Senate, in some competitive districts that had heretofore been Republican. It's the demographic change that's inevitable here in Arizona that is going to slowly but surely tilt Arizona first to be a purple state, which we're almost there, and then eventually to be a blue state probably a decade from now. So that's really the positive for the Democratic Party in Arizona. The inevitable demographic change is going to assist them down the road. As for the bench of candidates, it's not particularly strong, but there's still some key figures. You've got Mayor Greg Stanton of Phoenix. You've got David Garcia, who ran a good race for superintendent of public instruction. They're both looking at potential statewide offices. I think Bill Mundell ran a very strong race for the Corporation Commission. He only lost by something like the third seat on the commission by, I think, 0.6%, and got over 1 million votes statewide. So here's somebody now that has some name ID statewide, and I think Mundell has a future. Rebecca Rios, the minority leader in the state house, Democrat, I think has got a good future if she wants to pull the trigger and run for a higher office. And when you look backwards, I think you should not overlook Felicia Rotolini, who's a potential attractive candidate for the Democrats. So there, and then you have Steve Farley, the Senate minority leader on. Minority leader, I think, under Katie Hobbs in the Senate from Tucson that wants to run for governor. So you do have some names that I think will be available to run for statewide offices. But we're probably still an election or two away from Democrats being tremendously competitive for statewide offices. In off-presidential election years, the turnout goes down, and that always benefits Republicans.
Political analyst Chris Hurstam. Chris, happy holidays, and thanks as always.
Same to you. Happy holidays to everyone.